Good morning, everyone. It's lucky to see all of you. Lucky to have Mike here with us. So this morning, if you're visiting here with us, or if you have been here for a while, you would know that we are really smack bam in the middle of a church plant. And you might think a church plant may look a certain way, and you might look around and feel like this is not what a church plant looks like. You guys have got a building. There's people in the building. It's not just a handful of people. And I want to say to you that the opportunity of what there is in God and in this time, I think that's in some sense what the church plant is all about. It's all about the opportunity that there is for the gospel to go out, for the kingdom of God to be established. And we are 100% 2 months into this, and we did this for a reason. There was about 2 months ago, we were HMED AM, and we were one big happy family. And it was amazing to have all of us in our number, having the room filled, and you walk into the room. And although it was intimidating for people walking into the room, there was something about the electricity of it, of just, hey, everyone is here, you know, and there's something about that excitement. And when coming into a church plant and this, what we have here, all of a sudden the room is not filled. There's empty seats around you, and there's still a whole bunch of seats that gets to be packed out, hopefully not too long from now. And that was always the aim. The aim was that we don't just want to stay together, but what we believe God has both done in my life and in your life and our lives, that this is not just for us, that it's actually for a world out there that is in need to hear that Jesus is alive, that Jesus has come to save, that Jesus has come to make new, to reconcile, that Jesus is building his church, he's extending his kingdom. And if we all stay together and we're just us and we enjoy us and the room is filled, it actually, as great as that is, it's not the full picture of what God has had for us and what God wants us to do. And so in order for us to take hold of what God has taken hold of us for, we're having to say, hey, we need to plant out. We need to take all the good and all the amazing that we're experiencing of us, and we need to find a way to say, Lord, help us so that we can share it. And so this is where we're at the moment. And I think this morning is one of those first mornings where it's starting to get cold. And coming to church at 8:30 is really not fun. It's not the easy thing to do. It's like, oh, I set my alarm, and I last night knew if I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to want 10 minutes more. And so I set one alarm, and then I set an alarm for 10 minutes later, hoping I wouldn't need to use it, but I used it. And then I used another 10 minutes, you know, because it's like, man, my bed is so nice and warm, and it's so cold. So, I'm human just like you. But I want to say this, as we're 2 months into this new church plant, I believe we've never been poised or positioned as much as we are right now to see the growth of God come into not only our own personal lives, but in the world around us. And every empty chair, and we said it in the beginning when we were planting, every empty chair is a possibility. It's an opportunity for us to see God come and do great things. And I know this, that there's not one person in this room going like, I don't want to see God move. No, actually, in our hearts, in the deepest, most personal places in our heart, there is within each and every one of us, There is this deep longing desire to see God. If there's one thing that I can see, if there's one thing that I can taste, oh God, it's to see how you move. It's to see how you change someone's life. It's to see how you come and you break in and you make all things new. And I believe we were created with that purpose in our hearts. We're purposefully created by God with a purpose to see God move. And where we are right now, we're poised for it. And we're setting ourselves up to see that. And so coming into this next couple of weeks, as elders, we just felt like, hey, this is a church plant. We can assume that everyone knows, or we can make sure that everyone understands what the Church of God really is about, why we are doing this, why we gather on a Sunday morning, why we gather together on Wednesdays, why we take our lives and we open up our lives and we open up our finances, like what Dave spoke about. Why do we do these things? It's not just because it's this organization and something that we've grown up in and something that we've always been told. But no, there's a reason behind these things. And we want to make sure, as elders that are called to shepherd the flock of God, God's flock, you are God's children, you are God's church, we are meant to shepherd this flock and guide the sheep and the people of God, towards His kingdom, towards what He actually meant for each church to be. And as we do that, we realize actually we need to talk and spend some time about what church is all about. And so over this next couple of weeks, I want to ask you to give yourself the opportunity to say, hey, I might feel like I've been to church for all of my life. Like I've been to church from the day I can remember. Where I went to church and church looked very different back then. I was very different back then. Remember, like church was all about trying to sit still for 1 hour. Because if you didn't, your leg would have some marks with your mom and my mom and her nails. And she's just like, sit still. And you're like, in my heart, I'm sitting down. Or in my body, I'm sitting down. But in my heart, I'm shouting and running around and jumping on the pulpit with the dominie and whatever else. You know, I'm busy. And so we've grown up with an idea of what church is all about. And if we don't ever try and revisit and relook at those things and go like, actually, what does Scripture say? Why do we do this? Why do I give myself to a random group of people? Why do I open up my life and say, hey, look into my life? If I don't revisit those things, I'll actually never know whether I'm doing it for the right reasons. I'll never know whether I'm actually doing it because I believe Jesus truly is alive, and that's why I'm doing it. And so it's important for me to go, and for you to go back and go, why are we doing this? And so I want to ask you to give yourself the opportunity to look at that. You can have all the information, but if you don't give your heart the opportunity to hear that out, that information won't change your life. You'll just carry on, and you'll just default to the defaults that's in your heart and in your belief system. And the day when I got saved, a good amount of, too many years ago, like over 20 years ago, 22 years ago, the day that I got saved, everything for me changed. Why I go to church. Everything changed. And coming to church, I got saved in Wellington. And if you know anything about Wellington, it's a very hot place. It used to have this nickname called Hallington, because that's literally what it felt like. And so I came to church, and when I got to church, because I come from Bloemfontein and come out of a very traditional church, you went to church in a suit. And like that was your Sunday clothes, and I was full suit in Wellington, and church was like 3-4 hours long. Man, I was sweating like crazy. And I thought church is all about how you look and how you present. But I've come to realize church is something very different. And the day that I got saved, everything changed for me. And church no longer became a place where I have to be, because otherwise I might be going to hell. Church became the place where I'm like, this is where I found Jesus. This is life to me, because it's life to Him. And I say to you, Jesus loves His church. He loves His church, and He is, like, the scriptures gives us this picture of the bride being prepared for the bridegroom. The day when I got married, I couldn't wait for Helen to walk down the aisle. Because it's like, man, it's everything. It's my future. It's my destiny. She is my heart. And I don't care what the room looks like. I don't care what even a dress looks like. I just want her. And when she came down, we were in the bush. So we weren't in. She didn't come downstairs. She came down the bushes. a forest. Okay, forest is better than bushes. Sorry, I'm Afrikaans. She's English. Like, she's going to help me. But when she came down the forest steps, like, all that I knew was looking into her eyes and going, like, you are everything. And I want to say to you, when Jesus looks at His church, He's standing there waiting for this bride to be prepared. And all He's dreaming about is her eyes. And because that's all He's dreaming about, for me, the day I got saved, it became all that I dreamed about. Not money, not success, it's like, God, take everything. I want your church. Here's my life. And this morning, it's a very long introduction that it wasn't supposed to be. I want to get us there. And I'm hoping that we will be able to leave here this morning and see, am I poised or be able to see, am I poised or positioned for the purposes and the plans of God? And then what that looks like. Because I believe the plans and the purposes that God has for every follower of Christ is actually fully connected to how we relate, give ourselves, lay our lives down for His church. Amen? Let's pray. God, we just want to thank You for this morning. I thank You that as we come to You this morning, that there is not one of us here this morning that You do not see. But that each and every one of us here, Lord, that Your eyes is like flint towards our hearts. That You know exactly the thoughts and the feelings, the fears, the disappointments and anxieties, all the things that we've faced up to this point. You know exactly where we are at. And I thank You, Lord, that Your heart towards us and Your voice, Your word towards us is, come all who are thirsty. Come all who are heavy laden. Come all who are burdened. You are the one that gives us life. And You want to give life to each and every one of us here this morning. And so I pray, Lord God, that You would come this morning and that You would make us one with You and one with one another. In Jesus' name. Amen. Cool. So let me try and save my preach here with that long introduction. all of us have a desire in our hearts to do something with our lives. There's not one of us that sit here and go, like, actually, my life, I'm just here to, I was born so that I can go to school, so that I eventually can work, so that I can eventually die, and just, that's the loop of life, and that's all that I'm doing. There's not one of us here that sit like that. It might be the thing that you say to people, look, I'm just doing my thing. But on the inside, when you're alone and with yourself, the thoughts and the desires in your heart is you want your life to count and mean something. Not just for yourself, not for a bank account, not for a name on a door, not for fame or TikTok or whatever the kids do these days. No, you want it because you want to influence the world out there. And that desire and that yearning, I remember that, and I still at times have this feeling. It's like there's a yearning inside of me that is so overwhelming that I go like, Lord, I want to change the world. Like that thing is so real that if I give myself a moment to think about it, I can just cry. And I don't cry easily or over anything. But man, that desire and that thing inside of me is so real because I know God placed that there. And it doesn't matter whether you are a believer or not a believer. But you and I have been created by God. And since the day that we have been created in His image. Genesis 1 speaks to us of God where God says, the Father says to the Son, says, let us create man in our image. And in that moment of creation, God was on mission. God had a purpose. And God's purpose, who He is full of purpose. And so if He created us in His image, it's impossible for me and for you not to have a purpose. It's impossible. Because the very fiber of ourselves are filled with a purpose because it carries the likeness of God. And so we've been created with that purpose. When God created the world and the creation, He spoke it into being. And I want to encourage you, don't just go, yeah, I know this. I've heard the stories. I've read the kids' book. I've seen the pictures. No, I want to encourage you, go and read the Genesis account. When we speak about Scripture here, don't just take that is what it is. Go and read it. Make a time to get into the Word of God. God spoke the world into being. But when it came to man, God didn't speak it. He made it with His hands. And after He made it with His hands, He took man and He blew His breath into the nostrils of man. When you think about that, like if I'm going to breathe, if I've got a germ or whatever, if I'm going to breathe into, I'm going to use my wife here, into her face, there's going to be something of me that carries over into her. Garlic, bad breath. But it carries something of me. If there's a murder and I by accidentally sneezed and they start looking, who did this? We all watch these murder mysteries, okay? You understand what I mean? Like, and I sneeze and they start doing, hey, wait, there's some DNA here. There's some code here that is not just the blood of the person that died, but the person that was here. It's left behind because I sneezed. And as I sneezed, that was left there. And in the same way, I believe something of God, His DNA, who He is, when He created us and He blew into the nostrils of Adam, there was something that was transferred into him. The life, the breath of God was breathed into Adam and he came alive. And me and you carry that same breath. I'm going to quickly read this to us. Genesis 2, verse 4 says this. And when the Lord God made the heavens and the earth, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth. For the Lord God had not yet sent rain to the water to water the earth, and there were no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. And then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he made. And he placed him there. He made him, and then he placed him there. And as we carry on, we see that God gave Adam a very clear purpose, a very clear job. From the beginning, there was a purpose. And a big part of that purpose was to actually glorify God and bring glory to His creation that He created. And for me and you sitting here this morning, I believe for some of us, we are living like this. Who can remember this? Come on. I can't remember how to do that. In the beginning, yeah. We lived like this. A man. That feeling of when you have to go to the shops, when you've got to do stuff, and you're just like, okay. And then when no one is looking in a shop or there's no one, you go, okay. And then you see someone walking past. You put it back up. Can you guys remember that? That you also do that? Okay. Because this thing, as much as I'm breathing, I'm not able to breathe and take in the air. It's like I feel constricted. Do you agree with me? And I believe, still till today, because we don't believe that God has got a plan and God has got a purpose for us, that we're just walking on this road of life, this loop that we're on. We're walking around like this. And God meant for us to live with His breath. That's why He took Adam. That's why He took him in that moment, breathed His life into Adam, so that Adam can live unrestricted, so that Adam can have the fullness of life within inside of him. That's what God called you and me to. But yet we choose to walk around like this. We choose to actually go like, it's too scary to take off. It's too scary to say, God, what is your plans? What is your purposes? It's scary to walk into the church and go, actually, I want to give myself. I want to live for the plans and the purposes of God. It's scary. Because it means I need to open up my life. How many people did you meet in COVID? Like this. All those guys dating. You only saw the eyes. I'm thinking of that Gillette. I don't know if you guys remember that Gillette for the older generation. The younger generation won't remember it. But you used to have a TV that would have these ads on. It's not just streaming and choosing what you're watching. You were stuck to the TV, had to watch through the ad. And there was this ad of a guy walking into a bar with a beard, long beard. And then he would shave his beard with this Gillette razor. And the moment he shaved his beard, the next moment you see this guy doesn't just have a normal face. He's got a chin that like sits here. That was COVID dating for you. Eh? I'm going so off here. Kill the rabbit. Now God wants you to live in His breath with the fullness of what He has for you. And the fullness of what He has for you is not just your life and what you need to do, but your life fits into the bigger picture that God is doing. And I want us to quickly look at that. What is that bigger picture? Because it can easily feel like it's just about me and God and my relationship with God. But I want to say to you, you and your relationship with God, there's purpose behind it. If it was just about you and God, I believe the day you would have gotten saved, God would have said, come to me. Come join me in heaven. But it's not yet. No, we're still here. And that means that that relationship that we have with God, that there's purpose to it. More than just, am I safe? Am I going to heaven one day? And I want to quickly look into that. Last week, we spoke about Jesus being alive and about his resurrection. How was the defining act that helps us to see that everything that he said was true. And after Jesus ascended into heaven, he said to his disciples to go to Jerusalem. He said, I'm going, I need you to go to Jerusalem and then wait there. Like I've told you, you to wait there. And then he gives him a reason why he wants him to wait there. He says to him, I'm the Holy Spirit. And my Father has prepared a gift for you. And as he's prepared this gift for you, this gift will cause you to be my witnesses. Now that's a job. It's like saying to Adam, I'm placing you in the garden. Now I need you to take care of it. Now I need you to look after it. Now I need you to rule and reign. Jesus saying to the disciples, you will go there, you will wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And where the Holy Spirit come, I'm giving you, I'm placing you in the world in order for you to be my witnesses. He's giving them purpose. And so quickly, let's look at that. In Acts 1, verse 4, it says, he was eating with them, he commanded them, do not leave, and this is Jesus speaking, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Purpose. Matthew 28. Jesus says, go out into all the world. Purpose. And so for the believers, there was no church. This was the people, the group of people that looked to Jesus and go, we have recognized, we have seen you eat with us. We have seen you come, we've seen you getting crucified. We've seen the empty grave. We've seen you standing in front of us. We've seen the holes in your hands. We've seen you eat the broiled fish. Jesus is alive. We believe in who you are. We're following your word, your teaching, your way of life. Because we can see it is unlike anything else that we've seen. We're following you. And those that were following Jesus, he said, go and wait. And I'm giving you purpose. So what they did is they went from the Mount of Olives, went to Jerusalem and waited. And they waited 10 days. And in May, we will be celebrating Ascension Day and Pentecost Sunday. But they waited 10 days. And on the Feast of Pentecost, the feast or the day of first fruits, as they were together, configuring like, we're waiting. Jesus said we need to wait. Jesus said we need to go gather there. Jesus said we need to pray. They believed him because they knew that he's alive. Do you see how that connects? And because they sat there, they were waiting until, because if Jesus said that he's going to send the Holy Spirit, it meant it was going to happen. And they were waiting and waiting. And then at the moment, as they were praying, Holy Spirit fell. And as the Holy Spirit fell, they started praying in tongues. Things started going wild. And because of the day of Pentecost, there was a whole different, like a whole group of nations of Jews, the Jews from all over the world gathered there for this feast. And they were looking at this and, what's going on here? And then at that moment, as the Holy Spirit fell and they started seeing these things, Peter stood up. Because people were going, well, what's happening here? Peter stood up and he started speaking. And what he started speaking wasn't, hey guys, welcome to church. Look at the building, lights, camera, worship leader, time to lead worship. No. He wasn't speaking because he was thinking, hey, if I take my moment here, we're going to be able to build a church. And it's going to be good. And it's going to be big. We can do something with this Holy Spirit. Can you feel it? He wasn't thinking that. He stood up in the crowd. Because there's one thing that he knew. He said, Jesus is alive. I've seen him. I've seen the holes in his hands. I've seen what he has done. I've seen how he's healed. I've seen how he's spoken about it. I've seen how he died, and I saw how he was alive again. In that moment, when he spoke to the people, he was seeing Jesus and the purpose that Jesus told him, this is what you are here for. And he spoke. And as he spoke, people started going like, what? Jesus is alive. It's true what you're saying. It's true. He can forgive my sins. I'm lost without him. He wants to bring me back to my original purpose, to my original place. All of a sudden, my life has meaning. That thing I've always felt in me, I now realize Jesus is the answer. He is the purpose, he's the meaning, he's the everything. And all of a sudden, my life makes sense. And it says 3,000 was added on that day. It wasn't lights, camera, action. It was people coming to know Jesus is real. By a normal man. A man that's made some big mistakes. But it was a man that was willing to believe God. Believe Jesus. Realizing, actually, I can live going back to my fishing. I can live going back to the things I always have done. But it will be like living like with a mask. It will be, I'm alive, but man, I'm not thriving. I'm not. And he was willing to say, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe that God is the one that has blown air into my nostrils. And then at that moment, what we see happening. Acts 40. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all of his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. Those who believe Peter said, believed what Peter said, were baptized and added to the church that day in about 3,000 in one day. At that moment, the church was born. The church was born. It didn't look like 8:30 in the morning. It didn't look like sound. It didn't look like coffee. I promise you, they didn't care about the coffee. They didn't care about the worship team. They probably didn't care about, is there space for me or not? Do you know why? Because they weren't looking at the organization. They were looking at the bridegroom. I said, just like for me on that day, when my eyes were longing for Helen to walk down the forest, I almost said bushes. So her eyes, she's been spending the whole morning waking up early, getting something to do her hair, getting someone to make her makeup. She's fortunately one of those that doesn't have to do a lot of makeup, so that didn't take long. But she was preparing herself for the bride, the groom. She was going, this is where I want to go. So when the people were added to the church, the thing that they were looking for is not, is the seats comfortable? Am I heard? Am I seen? Do I have something, a place? Do I get to give myself? No, they were gathered together because together they knew we're coming to Jesus. We're coming to the one who is alive. We're coming to hear about his heart for us. We're coming to be with fellow people that are burning for him. Today we come to church and we go, is there a place for me? Is this church alive? Is worship, it's an amazing experience. Can we worship God in a place where we don't have instruments? Where it's that simplicity of Jesus, you are everything to me. I love you. You've got my life. I adore you. I place you on the highest place in my heart. Is that where our worship is? Or does our worship have to have drums and lights and sound? For them on that day, that's not what it was about. Let's quickly read there, and I need to really finish. It's okay if we don't finish, but there's some things I want to eat. Acts 2:42, and we know the scripture. I know that we know this. But I'm asking you in this moment to don't get stuck on what you know and what you've previously heard, but allow God, allow the Holy Spirit to renew this to you. And to even as we've been speaking, that you're seeing it from a different angle in this moment. When they sat together, they've gotten saved. They've come to know that Jesus is the one that saves my life. And in that place of where everyone is together, and they go, now what now? Why do we do this now? Man, Jesus saved my life. And I'm so excited. And man, it's so amazing to be with the fellow Christians. But what now? What do we do? This is what they did. And all the believers... The believers, it's important that word, the believers, the ones who believed in Jesus, in what Jesus has done, in what Jesus is saying they have to do, in what Jesus said, this is what life is going to look like. Those who believed in Jesus, those are the ones that gathered. Not the one that you fill in a form and go, what are you, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, non-whatever. No, it was those who believed. It says, all the believers devoted themselves. Themselves. They didn't have a WhatsApp group and say, hey guys, please can we ask you to be there? No. Because they knew what life was like without Jesus. And the message came to them, and as the message came to them, and they received it, it's like life, it's like the mask gets taken off, and it's like, Jesus saves. And in that moment, they go, oh, I don't need someone to tell me to gather with the believers. I'm there. Man, because Jesus, I can breathe. It's no longer this restriction. It's no longer this fear. It's no longer these things. It's like, no, they devoted themselves because it was life. It's like Jesus is alive. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. What was the apostles' teaching? Jesus is alive. He's come to save. He's come to reconcile all those who were lost back to the Father, back to the beginning, back to the place that we were always meant to be, is with our Father in heaven. And Jesus has come. That's the apostles' teaching. And for us as a church, Josh Jane, 412, are the people that we work with. That is our message. We're not here to build walls and systems and put names on doors. No, we're there to build the church of God. The church that says Jesus is alive and He's come to save. He's come to make new. And man, He's chosen every single person because He's got a purpose for every single one of you. If His life is in you, there's purpose. And to the fellowship, and to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. Why do we ask on a Sunday morning, hey, let's pray together? It's not to make you uncomfortable, but it's because we believe that if I get to sit with Dave and go, Dave, let's pray, there's something of heaven that is being expressed. Something of heaven that isn't just out there. It becomes right here. Because all of a sudden, I find someone else whose life has been changed. Someone else whose sin has been taken away. Someone else, other than me, who's come to know Jesus, is alive. Amen. What a joy that is, to be able to pray together. We make church, the systems, the coffee, the positions, the preach. It's not what it's about. It's about the fact that we are together. Those who believe, those who have seen, those who have tasted. And together we encourage one another. Don't give up. Don't give up. I know it's difficult out there. The people are not listening. But remember what Jesus said. Go out. I'm giving you a power. I'm giving you something to help you. Don't be anxious. But in everything, with great thanksgiving and prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. I said, Dave, we're going to pray. Because I'm here because, man, Jesus did something in my life that no one else can do. And Dave's here because Jesus did something in his life that no one else can do. I don't need a job in the sense of, Rian, go and preach to those people. No. My purpose is to live out this life that was breathed into me on that day, to live that out to the world out there. And when I come into church, when I come into the fellowship, I come to a place where I'm celebrated what God is doing in my life, challenged by what God wants to do through my life, but also encouraged to say, hey, don't give up. Fight the good fight. Remember, we're living here not for our own benefit. We're living here for His glory. We're living here for His kingdom that needs to be poured out into the world. That's why we're here. That's why we do this. And as they did that, this is what was the effect of it. A deep sense of awe, verse 43. A deep sense of awe came over all of them. And the apostles performed many miracles, signs, and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared in everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. Met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with joy and with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Is that a church that you want to be part of? Because that's what my dream is. I'm like, Lord, everything. And I'm going to have to close here. We're going to carry on next week. And in community in this week, we're going to carry on and speaking about some of these things. And so I want to encourage you, if you are a believer, go and ask yourself, what do I look like compared to what we just read? Does Ria need to send me that right message and make sure, I need to end here, but I sent a video this week and I put like a filter on. Like a lot of people were laughing and then I was like, how could you do that? That's so... And I'm like, I want to do everything I can so that you can hear me. And if that means I need to be a fool, and man, I've been a fool. Like, I've stood on this stage with these pictures, with a tutu, coming out of COVID. I said, like, I will wear a tutu if that means people will realize they need to come back to church. I'll do everything. So if you ask me to wear a mask, if you ask me to sit in a block, if you ask what area of me, I will do it. Because there is nothing for me that changes this and the importance of this in my life. Because for Jesus, His eyes is waiting for the bride. He's consumed with the bride. And so I will be consumed with His bride. And so I want to do everything I can to get you to hear me. But at the end of the day, you need to decide, am I going to devote myself? Is Jesus enough for me that I get to give myself? That I get to say no to other things? Or am I going to wait for someone to present me to a church that is alive? Or the church that is new? Or the church that is exciting? So I can tell you now, I don't need an exciting church. I need a church that is in love with Jesus. Willing to give everything. Willing to devote themselves. And it can't be something that I find. It's something that I've got to decide to do first. Because I am the church. Not just you. Can we close our eyes?